And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all have talked about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, well, I'll tell you, somebody else covers a whole lot of ground. That's my friend Stephanie Smith, who is the president of the Alabama Policy Institute, where I was proud to spend several years on staff myself. Stephanie has been neck deep in alligators down there in the Montgomery region, and I want to hear the latest updates from her. Stephanie Smith, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Alligators, I like that analogy. That is definitely how it has felt the last several weeks.
And they got teeth. But but that's okay. Yeah. You carry a big stick. Well, listen, I guess I had State Senator Chris Elliott on earlier, and I had to give him a bit of the business. I told him, I said, you know, I can't think when's the last time I disagreed with one of your votes, but I disagree with the one on that gambling bill. I said I didn't like it when it came up from the House, and I know y'all changed it, but I still don't like it. But where's it going? Uh-huh. I got his words, before I poison the well for you, where do you think it's going?
Yeah, I mean, I know where I would like it to go, which is in the trash heap. I'm not sure. I think it's one of those things, you know, a lot of times, as you know, egos get in the way when you're talking about politicians. And then also, you know, what has killed this bill the last several times it has been considered is what you know, some of us call greedlock, but it's basically, you know, everybody wants their piece of the pie. And if somebody feels like they're getting the shaft, then they kill it themselves. I will say with the Senate version of the bills, there is definitely, you know, a two-class system. And that is that the PCI, the Porch Creek Indians, would have the ability to have class three, and by class three I mean Vegas style table games, all of that kind of thing, and the racetracks, the traditional racetracks, and the groups that I say are the illegals that are getting amnesty would have only class two. And so there's a disparity there. It'll be interesting to see if the House is offended by that. Because that is a big difference between the Senate bill and the House bill. Frankly, I think they should be, in that it picks, you know, winners and losers, even amongst the winners that they chose. And so it kind of remains to be seen whether or not they have a real issue with that, or if they're just going to take what they're given. Because currently, we would argue that they're illegal and they're being legalized. And kind of knighted. And so that's not, you know, it's not to say that's nothing, but it does create kind of two different classes of types of casinos in the state. So, you know, and the date change is a big deal for a lot of, especially Democrats in the House. And so we'll see if that's important to them as well.
Do you recall, and I've not gone back and looked at the Senate version in detail, but did they still keep that potential Medicaid expansion built in? I think they did, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, the way they spend the money in the Senate bill is pretty interesting, and it should be interesting to your listeners, because I think that a lot of times, you know, people have gone around the state for years saying, you know, people ask me all the time when we're going to get a lottery, and they want a lottery. And a lot of times I feel like those folks are not the ones that necessarily want to spend extra time at the 7-Eleven get scratch off. But it's people who want their kids to get a scholarship or want their grandkids to get a scholarship. And what's important to note is that in neither the House or the Senate versions will your kids or grandkids get a scholarship. So the way the money is spent is broken up in, for the Senate version, is broken up into thirds. It's infrastructure, it's general fund, and the ETF, the Education Trust Fund. So there are no scholarships involved whatsoever, and the money is split up in that way. There was an argument on the Senate floor with the day they passed it about whether or not that was adequate enough money for prisons. It was decided it was not adequate enough for prisons, so they've created a recalculation to make sure that prisons specifically get at least $50 million a year of whatever the proceeds are. So prisons are first, And then the three-way split of ETF, general fund, and then infrastructure, but no college scholarship. So if you're looking for the Hope Scholarship, like what Georgia has, this is not your bill.
Wow. I mean, it's just amazing. And by the way, prisons has become the new like Biden infrastructure bill in Alabama. It's just like there's it's like this never ending. We can do more if you'll just give us more money. Well, how about doing the thing you said you're going to do first and before we talk about more money? Well, all right. So I guess let me ask it to you this way. If you had to lay odds, is the gambling bill going to pass?
I would say, unfortunately, yes. I think it will, because I think that the powers that be in Montgomery know that this is a difficult thing. It's been a difficult vote for both the House and the Senate. And though they are highly, highly flawed, it is a huge expansion of gambling. We're talking about 8 counties, 10 locations, a full statewide lottery. It's questionable whether or not some folks would have the ability to do sports betting and digital betting. It's such a huge increase in the expansion of gambling that I think at the end of the day, they look around and say, hey, it's not perfect, but this is pretty good. Let's go with it.
And by the way, you had a meme on social media for Alabama Policy Institute the other day. Y'all came up with a percentage increase. Was that for the original bill or for the Senate version of the bill of what we would see if this passed?
It would be either one, arguably either one. You know, there's a pro gambling group that put out a number that said that they were going to close down 90% of the facilities, and this was actually not expanding gambling; they were minimizing gambling. And so I sat down with my handy dandy calculator and said, okay, if gambling is in 10 casinos and a lottery everywhere, and on every device in the state, what percentage increase would that actually be? It's not a 90% decrease. It's a 1.49 million percent increase in gambling in the state.
What? Does your calculator have that many zeros on it? I mean, so that's...
It actually didn't, so I had to get online and do it online and calculate it that way. Then I asked our mutual friend, Justin Bogey, to make sure I was right on my numbers, because he's our numbers guy, and he said I was right.
Yeah.
So that's how I got the numbers.
You went to the guy who dreams about numbers, so that's good.
Yeah, that's right.
So I guess one more comment from me on this topic, and then I want to hear what else you know about other things. But sure. I would dare say that if this passes, I think there's going to be litigation. I don't think it'll go into effect right away. In fact, I question whether litigation could keep it off the ballot for the time being, because people are going to there's going to be gambling interests that are going to sue because they were not Porch Creeks and they were left out. Uh-huh. And there's going to be people that are going to sue because they don't believe a compact is going to wind up being, you know, justifiable or legally upheld. And it defers authority to a federal government entity to make decisions about the PCI as opposed to the governor.
Right.
And then I believe you're also just going to have people that are going to sue because they don't want it in their state, and they're going to find a nifty, crafty reason to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's another caveat there, which is there's a provision in both of the bills that mainly the Senate version outlines it better, that the gambling commission, which, as you know, would be an appointed commission, not elected by anybody, would have the ability to change the definition of what is legal, gambling in the state. And that's a legislative authority. And I think that would probably be questioned as far as the constitutionality of that as well.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we'll see where it goes. But this week has been a little calmer. I know that you've had a chance to hopefully catch your breath, or maybe all you did was just get ready for the next fight. But the legislature comes back in.
Yeah, a little both.
Legislature comes back in next week, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, next Tuesday afternoon.
What are you looking for? Like, what are some bills that API has targeted that that you're saying, listen, Alabama folks, you need to know this is about to happen, good or bad?
Yeah, I mean, there, frankly, you know, have been some good things. Obviously, we were instrumental in the school choice bill that has passed and already has gotten a signature. The other bills that I think your listeners would be interested in are the education transparency bill called the Parents' Right to Know Bill, makes public school curriculum available to parents. that's just waiting for concurrence. I think that there needs to be some more attention to the state health officer appointment and emergency powers question that are still lingering from COVID. Those are in the works. We're working on language to help with the capping property tax increases.
To
make that a 3% or 5% increase max, so that people can plan and people aren't getting kicked out of their family homes because the the assessment increase has increased by so much. It's up to 63%.
It's ridiculous. It absolutely is.
So it's really hurting people. And then there's the new election integrity bill. There's one on an audit that, election audit that is interesting. And then internet protection of minors. There are some good things that the legislature is doing. It's just that these gambling bills are not one of them.
Well, I said to somebody before the legislative session started that if gambling becomes an active piece of legislation, which it did, that it was going to suck all the air out of the room and make it hard to get other good things done.
Yeah, it absolutely has. And for the Senate, I know they haven't done any sunset. They haven't done, I don't think they passed one local bill, which, as you know, as a former member, is a pretty big deal. A lot of those bills have just got, been adding up and adding up. And at some point, they're going to have to do that. And then, they're also at some point going to have to do the thing that they're constitutionally required to do, which is pass the budget.
Yeah, which is technically the only thing they're required to do. They could go to Montgomery, pass the budgets, and adjourn sine die for the year, and they would have met their
right.
burden. Which
Yeah, and if you and I were in charge of the state legislature, that's what we would do.
That's exactly what we would do. We'd call up the budgets. We'd call for the votes. We'd use the previous roll, we'd approve it and be done and go home.
Who even needs the BIR? Let's just do
by
it.
Golly, let's just knock this sucker out. All right. Well, Stephanie Smith, more to come on this one. As things get a little closer and you start smelling the gambling fight, because usually you could smell it. Keep us posted on where we are. Call in anytime at a moment's notice if you need to. All right.
I absolutely will. Thank you for having me on, Phil.
All right. Thanks, Stephanie. All right, that's Stephanie Smith, the president of the Alabama Policy Institute. By the way, you can find out more about what they do. If you want to, if you hear something that they talk about, or for that matter that I talk about, a lot of times their stuff is on their website, like deep dive stuff. Like if you want to amaze people with stats and figures and understanding of the topics that go way beyond just the surface, Alabama Policy Institute usually has some great write-ups on their website, and I would encourage you to check it out, alabamapolicy.org. They've been around for 35 or 36 years, founded all those years ago by who is now Congressman Gary Palmer, and has been doing great work as a think tank and an advocacy organization for conservative values in the state for a long time. All right, Big Rig, let's take that break, brother. We have now concluded all of our calls, although I think there's somebody else maybe waiting in the wings to just jump on the phone. In the meantime, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.